Now you can start. We're going to be, our scripture this morning is Philippians chapter number 2. We'll be reading verse number 5 through 16. We're going to take verse number 5 through 11 as our text verse. I want to talk to you this morning on this subject, the true Jesus. The true Jesus. I believe a lot of people are worshiping someone that is not the Jesus of the Bible. Too many people, they're not serious about worshiping God. In Philippians chapter number 2, beginning in verse number 5, it says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain." Our verses this morning will be verses number 5 through 11. And I want to talk to you this morning on the subject of the true Jesus. The true Jesus. Let us pray. Father, we ask your blessing upon these words this morning. And I pray the Spirit of God would help us and lead us and guide us into all truth. I pray that you bless your people, God. May they be helped and edified. And may Jesus Christ himself be exalted. And Father, I pray the Spirit of God would be our teacher and bless your people, I pray. And I thank you. And please help me in Jesus' name. Amen. I saw in an advertisement a book entitled The True Jesus. Of course, I have not read it, but according to the advertisement, it had a lot to do or to say from the Bible and what this fellow called the divinity of Christ. The guy sounded like he was saved. His name was David Limbaugh. He's a brother of Rush Limbaugh. And Rush Limbaugh claims he's a Christian. He's a cussing Christian. He's a cussing Christian. You think there's any such thing as a cussing Christian? That's what he is. It may be a pretty good book. I don't know which Bible he would use. If he doesn't use the King James Bible, he's using the wrong one. But I don't know that. But you know what? I'll take the Bible over any book. I'll take the Bible to find out about the true Jesus before I will take any book, because this fellow may have made some mistakes. The Bible tells us that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof. And so we can trust what God says about the Bible, about who Jesus Christ is. Another fellow wrote a book entitled Killing Jesus. His name was Bill O'Reilly. And I doubt that it is accurate because he's a Catholic and doesn't believe the Bible. I heard him say with my own ears, he doesn't believe the Bible. He takes parts that he thinks might be true, and some of it he throws out. I heard him say that. Neither does the church that he goes to, which is a Catholic church, nor his leader, the Pope. They do not believe the Bible concerning creation. The official teaching, you can look it up. All you got to do is look it up. Their teaching is that they believe in evolution. That's the teaching of the big worldwide church that covers the earth. As I told you, the President of the United States, I was telling my Sunday school class this morning, the President is over hobnobbing with the descendants of Ishmael. this morning. He's over in Saudi Arabia over there making friends with the people who do not believe the Bible and do not believe in the true Jesus Christ. He's over there talking with them. Then he's going to go from there. I think possibly he's going to go to see the Pope, as I said, who doesn't believe the Bible either. And he's going to go over there and talk with them. I hope he doesn't do a bunch of bowing and scraping myself. I hope he doesn't do that, kissing his finger, kissing his foot, or some such nonsense as that. And then he's going to go on to Israel and Jerusalem and talk to the people there. Israel is in a state of unbelief. Now, myself, I think it'd be a good thing to go to the land of Israel. But the other two places, forget it. I don't want to go there. But anyway, he wrote a book entitled Killing Jesus. I wouldn't count on it to be accurate as far as finding out who the true Jesus is. Several religions have a Jesus that they portray in their publications. And like Jehovah's Witnesses, they have this Gentile-looking Jesus with a trimmed beard and a probably blue eyes and a trimmed haircut. That's not Jesus Christ. Nobody knows what he looks like. I mean, you can find out some things about what he looks like, but watch out for the pictures that you might see. He's smiling with a mouthful of white teeth, and he's a Jesus, according to them, that God created. The Bible says Jesus Christ himself is the Creator. He's the Creator, for by him were all things created that are in heaven. In the Bible, only God creates. Angels do not create anything. But God himself is the Creator. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. It says in Colossians 1:16, for by him, Jesus Christ, for by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, thrones and dominions, principalities and powers, all things were created by him and for him. He goes on to say in the next verse, and by him all things consist. In other words, he keeps all things running together. He keeps it from exploding. If it were not for the word of God, the entire universe would go to pieces. And so those are things that you have. People have ideas about who Jesus Christ is. You might see a picture somewhere of someone that they call Jesus. He might be a little wimpy looking guy. Little wimpy with flat, long hair, something like that, you know. That is not Jesus Christ. He was not a wimp. The Jesus Christ of the Bible was the boldest man who ever lived. Amen. He was a bold, mighty preacher. He was not a coward. He was not a sissy. He was a bold man. He didn't walk funny. He came down here to die on a cross. He did not come down here to live a nice, cushy life, raise a family and all that kind of... No, he came for a purpose. And that purpose was to go to the cross. And he was the boldest preacher, the boldest man who ever lived. On the night before he was crucified, on Tuesday night, he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and Judas brought a band of soldiers of somewhere between 100 or 200 people, soldiers carrying lanterns, and weapons, the Bible says, and torches. And they came, and Jesus Christ was in the garden where he had prayed, where he had fell upon his face, and he prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." He had prayed in the garden, and Judas Iscariot brought a band of soldiers, possibly a couple of hundred of them, with torches and lamps and swords. And Jesus confronted a whole band of soldiers. He confronted them. And he said unto them, this is found, by the way, in John chapter 18, verses 1 to 6. He confronted them and he said, "Whom seek ye?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." And whenever Jesus said these words, they all fell to the ground. He said, "I am he." And when he said, "I am," the force of his words caused the entire band of soldiers. I'm talking about rough, tough killers, hardened soldiers of the Roman army. They all fell to the ground upon their faces from the force of his words. I'm not talking about how loud he was. I'm talking about the power that was behind His words. Amen. He was not a wimpy Savior. Otherwise, He would have never went to the cross. He would have wimped out, but He did not. We sing the song, He didn't come down. There is another Jesus in this world. Another Jesus. The Bible says you got to turn here. 2 Corinthians, back to your left a little bit. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 4. I thought I had it written down, but I don't, so let's look it up. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 4. 2 Corinthians 11, 4, the writing of our apostle, the apostle Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles. And it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 4, for if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, see, there's another spirit also, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. Paul was afraid that people would listen to something that was false. Thank you. Turn back to Philippians. So there is another Jesus out there. There's the Jesus of the Muslims. The Jesus of the Muslim is not as important as their so-called prophet Muhammad. He's not all that as important as their prophet Muhammad. Their Jesus did not die for anyone's sins. And he was not raised from the dead. According to the Muslim religion, their God, who is not the same as the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, had no son. But God Almighty has a son. We read about him time and time again in the Bible. There's another Jesus in Hollywood. Back in the year about 1970, a play of some sort came out. Is a musical, they called it. It's called Jesus Christ Superstar. It's a bunch of trashy stuff, nonsense and garbage. And in it, their Jesus is just a confused man who is no better than Judas Iscariot. I didn't see it. I wouldn't see it. But that is not the true Jesus. I'll take the Jesus of the Bible. Amen. I'll take the Jesus of the Bible, that Jesus, the Jesus who was without sin. I'll take him. I'll take the Jesus who was not confused and came for a purpose to die on the cross. I'll take the Jesus who was bold in his preaching and simple in his teaching. If you ever notice the teaching of Jesus Christ, he used examples and illustrations of all kinds. I'll take the Jesus who walked on the water. I'll take him. I mean, surely you'd want somebody who could walk on the water. Surely you'd want a Savior who could walk on the water, who could walk on the wind. I mean, the Bible says God can walk on the wind. He walks on the wings of the wind. I'll take that Jesus. I'll take him. I'll take Jesus who's the Savior of all mankind. The Bible says in Acts chapter 4 and verse number 12, neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I'll take that Jesus right there. I'll take the Jesus who said in John chapter 14 and verse number 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. I'll take that Jesus. I'll take him. I'll take the Jesus. I'll take the Jesus who said in Matthew 24 verse 35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. I'll take the Jesus who was raised from the dead never to die again. I'll take that Jesus. I want the one who ascended into heaven under his own power. And the Bible says he's coming back, that he will soon return to rule over the earth from Jerusalem for 1,000 years. You see, the true Jesus is found in the Bible. The true Jesus is found in the Bible. He has the qualities, these qualities I'm going to give you this morning. I could give you a whole bunch of them, but I just keep it short. I probably ought to just cut it down. Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 5, actually verse number 6, down through verse number 11. The true Jesus. I'm going to give you points like this. Number one, I want you to notice his incarnation. His incarnation. Number two, I want you to notice his humiliation. And number three, I want you to notice his exaltation. Verse number 6 is his incarnation. Look at verse number 6. It says, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Being in the form of God. You know who Jesus was? He is the form of God. He is the visible form of God. The Bible says he's the visible appearance of God. God is a spirit. We cannot see him. So he became visible to us. He took on the form. He took on a body. He is God himself in a man's body. So we want to preach that Jesus Christ is God. You can see God because God became flesh, a man, and that is Jesus Christ. It says in verse number 6, who being in the form of God, God's visible form, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. That is, he's not taking away or he's not stealing anything from God by being equal with God. He's not robbing anything from God by being equal with God. You see, he's the form of God. It says in verse number 7, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant. See, in verse number 6, he's the form of God. Verse number 7, he's the form of a servant. The form of a servant made in the likeness of men. Can you imagine your Creator being a servant, washing feet and sleeping outdoors sometimes? So he's God manifest in the flesh. Turn in your Bibles, please, over to the right there just a little bit to the greatest verse in the Bible on the deity of Jesus Christ. That'll be 1 Timothy chapter number 3 and verse number 6. 1 Timothy chapter number 3 and verse number 6. Y'all excuse me, I've got to do something here. Amen. Sorry, I have to stop and do that. See you later. But anyway, we're in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 16. And here's what it says. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. So he's going to tell us what the mystery of godliness is. God was manifest in the flesh. That is, he was made known. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. That is the greatest verse in the Bible on the deity of Jesus Christ. It's called the mystery of godliness. Jesus Christ himself is the creator. He's the creator. Turn your Bibles back to the left there to John chapter number 8. John chapter number 8 and verse number 58, I believe it is. John chapter number 8 and verse number 58. And I'll not read the whole context there, but verse number 57 and 58 and 59, I'll read those. Verse number 57, then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? And Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Now there's the phrase right there. Before Abraham was, look what Jesus said, I am. Then took they up stones to cast at him. You know why they took up stones to cast at him? Because they knew that Jesus Christ was claiming to be Jehovah. That's why they took up stones to cast at him, because they knew what he was claiming to be. And did you know that if Jesus Christ was not who he claimed to be, if he was not God manifest in the flesh, you know what he should have, you know what according to the Bible should have happened to him? He should have been killed, because he would be a false prophet. You see, if he's not God manifest in the flesh, like he claimed to be, he said, before Abraham was, I am. That's what he said in the garden. Whenever the soldiers fell back, he said, I am he. And the force of his words caused them all to fall down. The fact that Jesus Christ is God and people do not believe it will cause people in the end time a great deal of trouble. This is what caused Paul to tremble and be astonished whenever he saw Jesus on the road to Damascus. I mean, Paul had been killing people and Christians and all that because they're worshiping Jesus Christ. And he's killing people because they're worshiping Jesus Christ. And he didn't believe Jesus Christ was God, but Jesus appeared to him on the road to Damascus. And he saw who Jesus was. And man, it caused him to tremble and fall down before him, you see. And that's where he got saved. People can be good people. They can be nice people. They can be all kinds of things. But if they do not believe that Jesus Christ is God, they'll perish.
That's right.
They'll perish. They'll go to hell, you see. I'm talking about whenever they stand before God. Let me just go on here a little bit further in Philippians chapter number 2 and talk to you about his humiliation. His humiliation, and you'll notice in verse number 8, Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 8, his humiliation, it says, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So he became a man and he humbled himself. That is, he made himself low. He made himself low, God in a man's body. And the Bible says he had no reputation. He's God, but he did not advertise it, you see. He became, the Bible says, obedient unto death. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death. He did not run from death. His chief goal was not to stay alive. You see, most of us, we all want to stay alive. We all want to stay alive. And that's our goal. One of the goals in life is stay alive. You know, we take medicine, we take pills, we do all kinds of things. That's a natural thing, to stay alive. But Jesus Christ, he ran to meet death. He ran to meet death. See, his goal was not to stay alive. He ran to meet the cross. But when it says he became obedient unto death, it goes on to say even the death of the cross. See, it wasn't just any death. The death of the cross, which was a horrible death. In our day and time, our society, I don't know how many, the state of New Mexico, they don't put anybody to death. People can commit horrible crimes and society does not want to put them to death. They commit murder and they murder people, premeditated murder, and they don't put them to death. Well, you can kill somebody and you get, what do you get? 10, 15, 20 years, 25, maybe you get life in prison, okay? They murdered somebody. You know why? Because it seems to be a bad thing to put someone to death. They don't want to do that. They don't want to do that. They make it just as easy as they possibly can. You see, long time ago, you know how they kill people? Horse thieves and murders and things like that. You know how they killed them, don't they? They hung them. They hung them in public. Well, see, they stopped that. That would stop a lot of crime. That stopped a lot of crime. I can tell people how to stop lots of crime. Rape and all kinds of things like that. There's ways to stop that kind of business. They'd never do it again. But people won't do it. Oh, no. Oh, no, we can't. That's cruel and unusual punishment. You see. They may have put their victims through awful, horrible circumstances and killed them. But then when we get the guys in jail, in prison, well, we want to treat them nice. We don't want to be too cruel and unusual on them, you see. Well, if they ever do get anybody on death row, you say, you're just mean. You're just mean. Look, it's in the Bible. Genesis chapter 9, God said, whoso sheddeth man's blood, by him shall man's blood be shed. Amen. He's given society the responsibility to do that. Nobody likes to do it. It's what ought to be done. If anybody ever does get to what used to be the gas chamber, but now then they've stopped that, you see. Well, it takes $50 million in 25 years before they ever do it. I'm not for anybody being put to death wrongfully. I think that'd be awful. But at the same time, people ought to do what the Bible says. If you don't do what God says, then you're going to get more of it. You're going to get more of it, you see. Now then, they want to treat him nice. Look, what I'm saying is, Jesus Christ, he became obedient unto death, but it wasn't just any death. Even the death of the cross, he went to that death willingly. You see, a horrible death. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Last, in verse number 9 and 11, 9 through 11, is his exaltation. Because he did what he did. He was God in the flesh, but he came to the earth and humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. The Bible says, wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him. That is, he has lifted him up and exalted him. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. Every knee should bow. Brother, listen to me. One day, every knee in the universe, you don't have to worry about it. You already bowed your knee. You don't have to worry about it. But one day, every knee that hasn't bowed the knee, the unthinkable thing will happen to them. The thing they never thought would happen to them. Somebody, they'll come before a great white throne. And there'll be someone sitting upon that throne whom they never thought would be there. It will be a man. His eyes are as a flame of fire. His name is Jesus Christ. He is God in the flesh, in a glorified body. He'll be upon that throne and they'll have to stand before him. And they will have to admit that Jesus Christ is Lord. They will have to bow their knee, starting with the devil, Adolf Hitler, every Muslim, every Protestant that doesn't believe in the deity of Christ, every single person on the earth, every Hindu, every Buddhist, every atheist, every evolutionist. They will have to bow the knee and say, you're right. Jesus Christ is Lord. He is God in the flesh. Amen. They will bow the knee. They will have to. I don't know, the devil be first or he be last. If he's last, everybody else bowed the knee. They cast in the lake of fire. The devil says, okay, Satan, get over here. Now bow the knee. Bow the knee. I am Lord. I am the creator, and you get down on your face. And he gets down on his face, and then he goes to the lake of fire. You see. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him. God raised him from the dead. You don't want a Savior who's not raised from the dead. You don't want a Savior whose bones are still in the grave, do you? What good can they do you? Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him. He raised him from the dead. Why? Because showing that God is, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, the highest name in the universe. The highest name in the universe, the name of Jesus, not Yahweh, not Yeshua, Jesus, Jesus Christ. He said, Jesus Christ is the Lord, Jesus Christ is Lord. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth. Now see, one day we're going to see that Jesus. You are, and I am, all of us. We're going to see him. We're going to see that Jesus. As I said, every skeptic, every socialist, every communist, every Unitarian, every pantheist, every Satanist will cry out, Jesus Christ is Lord. You've already done it. Doesn't bother me. I'll do it every day. I'll do it every day. See? Now you see that right there? That's the true Jesus. The true Jesus, he's God in the flesh. That's who he is. That's who he is. Amen? Let's bow our heads.